It is Monday. It's February 3rd, 34th day of the year. Now, see, once January's done, what day of the year it is gets a little bit more challenging. So this is a public service weekday mornings. And our friend Jason Kahn's on the line from his home in Eau Claire. Hi, Jason.
Good morning.
Wow, we got a bad hum there. Let me put you on hold and try this on the other line. That's nasty. Let's try it over here. Let's try that. Oh, that's a lot better. Okay.
Much better, yeah.
Wow. Number two was terrible. Okay. All right. Well, we chatted off the air here. No Super Bowl for you yesterday.
No, I was saying yesterday that I didn't even know it was Super Bowl Sunday yesterday.
Yeah.
I was talking with the kids yesterday about the last time we hosted a Super Bowl party at our house, and Tessa didn't remember that. I'm quite certain she has probably never seen a football game in her life.
Really? Wow.
And that's not true. I guess she has gone to the Memorial Games with John and Grace, but yeah, nothing beyond that.
Now, it's interesting because you played, not even just high school, you played college football in Iowa, right?
Yeah, I did. I loved playing when I did. And in fact, if I watch a game now, I can get completely engrossed in it. It just has not been a priority over the years for me now to watch. So,
I will bring you up to speed. It looked like San Francisco was the better team most of the night, leading 20-10, but Kansas City got a big 44-yard pass play, ultimately a touchdown, another one. They went on to win it 31-20. So there you go.
All right.
Kansas City wins their first Super Bowl in 50 years. A lot of discussion about Super Bowl commercials. There was a MetLife ad about the four Greek words for love. You would have liked that one. You would have liked that commercial if you get a chance to see that one. But all right, you're taking
Lewis's book, The Great the Four
right.
Loves.
Yeah, people were wondering if they should have credited Lewis with that. So
sure.
Yeah, because usually the one Greek word that kind of gets overlooked is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. I thought it was kind of like I've seen it described as a mother's love or a love for pets, interestingly. But anyhow. Huh. Friendship, love, obviously the unconditional sacrificial love, agape, and eros, which gets some attention during Valentine's month. So we're going to John 13 this morning from the devotions at the back of your upcoming book, right?
And we are. So this morning we're in John 13:13, and it says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." And here's what I wrote. As he talked to his disciples, Jesus again confirmed his identity to them. He reminded them of who he was and by what authority he was able to tell them how to live. Jesus was their teacher. They had lived for 3 years as his apprentices, listening as he taught them by word and by action. But here's what's important, I think. He was not passing on a merely intellectual faith, but a comprehensive, embodied faith. He was teaching them to become love, as Bob Goff said in his book, Love Does. I think it was that one.
Uh-huh.
He spoke and lived a life of love, and he wanted them to go and do likewise. Jesus was also their Lord. They recognized that he was not one rabbi among many, but that he was someone greater. They saw him as the promised Messiah. As Lord, he had every right to command them, but he taught and led as a servant. His servant leadership was countercultural then, just as it would be now. In today's church, many of us have accepted Jesus as our Savior, but do we also take him as our teacher and as our Lord? Do we willingly look at his life and his teaching to understand godliness? Do we submit our wants and our desires and self-centeredness to his lordship, asking him with willing hearts to take over our lives?
The thing that strikes me out of that, Jason Kahn's, is the idea of even Bob Goff and that idea of becoming love. And as Larry Crabb says, it doesn't matter how people treat you, but what matters is your response to them. And this idea that's very Christian, the idea of how you treat others. And if we're to be imitators of God, as Ephesians 5 says, loving toward all, right?
Right, exactly. And I think the important piece in that is so often as we think about love relationships, it's am I being treated equitably? Am I being treated fairly? Have they deserved my love? But really, as Jesus came and taught us, we love without condition. And that doesn't mean we don't have good boundaries. It doesn't mean we don't set boundaries around things, but we're called really to become love. And it goes back to the first week we started on these devotions talking about God's loving kindness.
Hesed, and to model that towards others. Yeah, that
right. Hesed.
Remind us what Hesed. We could always stand to be reminded. Hesed means what?
Yeah, so Hesed is the word. It means loving kindness. And Michael Card wrote a book about that recently and said that that's God's principal characteristic is loving kindness, this kind of steadfast love of the Lord that never fails.
Boy, that sounds like a great book. You have that one?
I do. Yeah, it's a good book.
Jason's got quite a library. That sounds like a good one. Let's just close with this, because I think, you know, right now in our society, I mean, so much division, I mean, even within the church, but then even to the watching world. And so, boy, I just long ago memorized in my marriage, but 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, you know, and I'm like, I believe that your spouse is your number one neighbor. And so you're going to be tested in that, though. But, you know, I always go back to the kindergarten and the first grade of the definition of love. Love is patient, love is kind. Like, if you're not being that, then forget all the rest of love, right?
Right on. And love can be, I think, a confusing, murky term, but I think you're exactly right. 1 Corinthians 13 is a good place. Ponder what those words mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please.
They're not self-seeking.
Yeah, it is a great, I mean, memorize it, study it. It's awesome. So I go to it often. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
More at his website, jasoncans.com, jasoncans.com. Friend him on Facebook, and good guy to know and great resource to have on the show. WWIB, he's with us once a week here right in this slot where Tuesdays through Fridays you get Greg Stewart's sports and commentary. But Drew Fralick from Michigan, comedian and counselor, and talking Super Bowl commercials today. Hey, Drew.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Doing all right. So Kansas City wins their first Super Bowl in 50 years. I mean, as excited they are, I mean, how delirious would Lions fans be to win the Super Bowl?
That would be, I mean, that would be other, I wouldn't even know. I would think the end of the world was imminent or something.
I mean, it's kind of like 1 Corinthians 2:9. Nobody's imagined that, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unthinkable.
All right, so the Super Bowl ads, I got to say, let me just say, in my house, for my wife, I mean, she was so interested in the ads. She's like, tell me, thank you to her. She was preparing some of the food, the appetizers and other things. And so it was just kind of like, she was like, just tell me when the commercials are on. That's what she wanted to know. And she would want to know, did I miss any commercials? Not did I miss any of the games. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and I kind of refrained from texting you during the game last night. I was like, I'm gonna save it all for Monday morning. There was tons of good ones.
People want to laugh, though, right? People want to laugh. I think that's not that you can't have a serious one, but in general, they want to be entertained.
I mean, some of the serious ones I thought were some of the better ones, but yeah, I think people want to laugh. The thing, and I don't think this is like a particularly hot take, but the thing that stuck out to me was some of these like movie franchises are getting a little bit stale. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you saw the advertisement for Fast and Furious 9.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fast and the Furious 9, like, when the sequels got like a square root, you know,
I thought it wasn't legal to have more sequels than Rocky had. You know, I mean,
what exactly are they going to cover in Fast and the Furious 9 that they haven't gotten to in the first 8? You know what I mean?
Space, maybe? I don't know.
What else? They have the new James Bond movie, Time to Die. Did you see that?
I did.
And I mean, Daniel Craig, I looked it up. He's 51 years old now. I'm thinking, how is this guy going to be chasing bad guys? Like, I'm 35. When something goes out, I'm like, oh, my knee, it's just broken for the rest of my life, you know? Like, he could barely finish a 5K fun run, and he's going to be chasing bad guys?
I think what we're saying is, whatever age it is, it's the new such and such. So when you turn 80, it's the new 60. 51 is the new 31. That's the way it is.
Yeah, what they'll be saying in 30 years. Like
the Bill Murray ad, USA Today ad meter, the Bill Murray ad, I had it posted even on my Facebook timeline before the game because, again, a lot of the ads were available. When I saw it yesterday, how brilliant is that? I mean, in terms of the Groundhog Day, the Super Bowl's on Groundhog Day. I mean, that was just a brilliant ad.
That was perfect. Yeah. And the thing is, I forgot it was Groundhog Day. And then I was surprised that some of those guys were still around, you know. I mean, that movie was from, what, 90?
Long time
90,
ago.
Something like that.
Yeah, a long time ago. Right.
That was pretty surprising. The other thing I heard, I don't know, there's some crazy statistics coming out about the day after Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I heard that 10% of Americans will miss work today.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess that means there's like 16 people listening to this phone call.
And I think
conversation,
yeah,
right now.
There are people, I mean, imbibing too much, and then there'd be the idea of, I guess, overeating, maybe. I don't know. But it's
can you miss work from overeating?
I don't think so. There's people who want it to be a national holiday for recovery, so I don't know. Well, I heard that
people eat 6,000 calories on Super Bowl Sunday. That was the other stat I heard, which is crazy.
Yeah, I had too many of the little cocktail hot dogs, probably. And then my wife, but I think, chided more for having... I had a peanut butter and honey sandwich after all of that. And it's just like, you're violating the keto principles, Mark, you know? What's up with that? But, it's a lot of the discussion today in terms of the ads. And so people can check out the USA Today ad meter. And we'll talk more about it, I'm sure, on our morning show as well. Drew, if people want to check out more of your stuff, where can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, so people can check it out if you've got an uncle or a cousin in Detroit. We're going to be doing a lot of shows this month in March, Christian comedy, clean Christian comedy in the Detroit area. You can go to www.drewfralick.com. Check that out.
All right.
And we're going to be doing some serious shows, so hopefully people will send their cousin from Detroit out to the shows. So.
Very good. Thank you, Drew.
Always good to talk to you, Mark.
You too. All right. Monday mornings with Drew here on WWIV. Well, I'll go first as we do a weekend recap. I found a way to stay in touch with, sort of feel connected to both of you at the same time, because it was show choir on Saturday.
Yes.
And I was like five rows behind Hillary, and I text her and say, hey, hi from five rows behind you. And getting ready to see Altoona perform there in the afternoon and several other schools. And Dawson's a senior on the Northern Airs for North. Mm-hmm. But also... I may have checked my phone on the Badger-Michigan State game.
Is that what you were doing? When
and I may have messaged Caleb about how the Badgers led by 16 at halftime. And I may have followed on ESPN. It's really cool. Modern technology, they actually can give you the percentage chance of winning. Like,
really?
Yeah. Whatever the score is and how much time left in the game. And that's a fluctuation. That's really fascinating. So anyhow, it was part of my weekend. And
very
I felt...
good.
In touch with both of my morning show co-hosts.
Well, and then we sat together.
Yeah, you came over.
So
Chi High was
the protocol
good.
For these Excellent. Show choir events is that the first several rows are always for the parents whose kids are actually performing. So, like, you move to the front row when it's your kid's turn, and then you move back when it's the other people's turn. So gotcha. When I moved back, I sat with the Halversons. I got to meet.
We
meet
had good enough seats where
nice
we didn't
visit.
Have to be further up. But yeah.
So, but yeah, it was fun to do that on Saturday, and the kids had a great time, and it's just fun to see them have fun, you know. And then yesterday, what a gorgeous day, church in the morning, but man, mid-40s, mid to upper 40s.
Was the sunshine this
yes,
weekend?
Yes, I went for a
and
lovely
it started Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, I went out and picked up
expecting
dog
that.
Poo in the yard on Saturday. Never done that before. That was a good time.
Never shared that before either.
Yeah, no.
Only
thank
when
you.
The snow
super
melts.
Exciting.
Like,
I was like, wow, this is like the day in the sunshine. But no, my walk yesterday was beautiful to spend time outside and choir practice in the afternoon before the Super Bowl, and it was good.
I enjoyed Super Bowl. I realized Super Bowl Sunday is very much like a holiday for me. And yes, it's not solely about a game. It's about snacks and commercials and the football, but it's about a day that we kind of set aside where everybody in the family, we know we're going to be prepping for this during the day. And so we had a great time with that. I played some basketball with my dad and brother and took Cooper to an open gym there in Rice Lake.
Fun.
And then going back to Saturday, I finally took my Christmas lights down.
Hey-o,
which was
there you
awesome.
Go.
But some of them were actually stuck up in the gutter. You know, new house didn't realize that there's going to be some ice and sticking some to the gutter. And being the wonderfully smart individual that I am, I thought, you know what? I won't use salt like my wife advised me to do. I will just take my Wonder Bar and just kind of hack this thing loose. So I chopped off some of my lights.
Ah,
happens.
So yeah, in the market for some new ones.
See?
But I got them down.
There you go. It's all good. Well, it's the day after the big game, and I, for one, enjoyed the commercials. They're always my favorite
part. You're like my wife, very much like this. She's like, call me for the commercials. Then she's wanting, did I miss any commercials?
I know,
it's like
right?
There's no game going on. That's
well, I mean, totally it is interesting because, I mean, and even I am probably more of a football fan than Hillary, I might say.
Just a little.
But
just a little.
When I would get up to get my snacks was during the game. Now, between plays, because there's a lot of time between plays, but I did not want to miss the commercials either.
I seriously ask? Okay, so I know. Like it wasn't the Packers, but was it a good game to watch?
I thought it was
better than last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think San Francisco looked like the better team for 3+ quarters for sure.
And then the Super Bowl MVP.
And
just
I felt like I'd made the
like
wrong
it.
Pick in taking Kansas City.
Oh, so
City.
They didn't win. Okay.
No, Kansas City came back, scored the last three touchdowns fourth quarter. So.
Watch the game.
Which is really my first time in 50 years. First one for Andy Reid, so pretty nice for them.
Awesome. But commercials. So we have some of the commercials we've been talking about this morning, and I found a listing of them all. So the highest rated commercial was the Groundhog Day commercial.
Right.
With Bill
USA
Murray.
Today.
I loved that. Yeah.
I thought that was really clever.
That one was very good.
I'm surprised, though. Number three was the Google Loretta ad.
Oh,
I thought that was beautifully
one.
Done.
Okay.
I really liked
that
one.
I mean, I think at least where we were, it was just trying to, like, who is Loretta? I mean, I think that was sort
his
of...
deceased wife.
Yeah. Okay.
Grabbed my heart. Squeezed
all right.
It.
There's a lot of discussion. Ranked third.
Sure. Yeah. I was really impressed with that one.
Skipping back up, though, number two was the Smart Park car, the Hyundai car.
Oh, yes.
And that one was good. I wouldn't rank that as number two.
No, but it was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
A lot of Boston accents, which I will not try to recreate myself.
No, that was... exciting.
So is the Rocket Mortgage ad is the guy who played in Aquaman, right?
Yeah, Jason Momoa.
Yeah, so that was a
hilarious.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I really liked that one as well. They said that this next 100, like the way the game started, they said that that was actually like a commercial. I didn't know that that was a commercial.
I thought it was very well done, though.
It was cool. I like the Before Alexa thing. That was number 7.
No, that was funny.
That was super funny. I liked that
with
one
Ellen.
As well.
With Ellen.
Yeah, with Ellen. And then... I don't know if it ranked very highly or not, but the Cheetos Can't Touch This.
That was number 10.
Okay. I enjoyed that one with the Cheeto fingers.
Number 9, I loved. I ranked this amongst, no surprise to you guys, was the Microsoft Be The One. It was about the female football coach. She's
Katie.
I loved that one. I loved that one. That one was all about like girl power. And I
Olay
loved
did
that
one as well, too. And I don't know if or how it ranked, but Olay did one about women in space as
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
So,
the
Kia ad that was number 8 called Tough Never Quits, I thought for sure it was an ad for the NFL. And it was, ultimately it was a
Kia.
Car ad.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to cut you off. With Josh Jacobs.
Right.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Super, super fun. So, I mean, that covers pretty much the top 10. Were there any others that you guys really liked?
I think we mentioned earlier the one.
The Reese's Take 5
one
was
funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Oh, that was
funny. That was funny. It's interesting looking just briefly at the ones on the bottom. The one really just didn't work for me and was listed as the lowest was from Quibi, which I'd never heard of before. So they're trying to introduce their product, Bank Heist. And so it's all these guys in masks busting out of the bank.
I didn't know what that
was. And then their getaway driver says, I'll be there in a Quibi. And it's something about shows or news
like
or something.
Short,
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Like in 10 minutes or less. And it just didn't resonate.
I like the New York Life, Love Takes Action, the 4 words for love. People were saying this morning, should C.S. Lewis have been credited the 4 loves, you know?
Yeah.
So anyhow, good stuff.
The two political ads from Bloomberg and President Trump both did not rank highly. Neither did the Pop-Tarts Fix the Pretzel.
Yeah.
The
Pringles one.
Yeah, the Pringles
was
one was very, very
bizarre.
Odd.
Bizarre. I didn't like that one.
Another one that I didn't dislike, but it didn't really work was the Winona in Winona one. But I'm glad to see Winona getting a little pub because Winona, Minnesota is where my brother and sister live for a while.
It was funny. It was different.
Yeah.
But
I think overall it was a good batch.
It was. It wasn't bad.
We used to have the late marketing professor Chuck Tomkovic on every year to talk. He was like a national expert on Super Bowl ads. So I miss him. So you hear about the fact that the Iowa caucuses are going on today, and it really starts in all earnest the nomination process for president. Now, obviously, President Trump has a handful of opponents, some of the states not even allowing those handful of candidates even on the ballots. But obviously, the attention's for the Democrats. I mean, who's going to be the opponent for later this year? And so interesting story, though, with caucuses quite a bit different from a primary, right? We've got our a day coming up, February, and then later, actually, April is the spring election, the primaries. And it's anywhere between 7 in the morning, 8 at night, you go, you vote, it's done. Caucus is quite different. And the chair at of college Democrats at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Eric Rohrholm, is running a satellite caucus there for students from Iowa. And he submitted the necessary paperwork. He got approved. It's one of a handful of some of these are going on in the state of Iowa today at different times, California, Georgia, and this one at Marquette University. So he explains how exactly this caucus is going to work.
A caucus is kind of a time commitment. It's going to be somewhere around 3 hours usually. Ours might be a little smaller because we have less people. But what happens is everybody gathers in a big room. The Iowa Democratic Party gives me a very regimented script. It's a very regimented thing. There's some party business. And then the caucus itself happens. And so what happens there is we're all in a room, and there's a little corner for every single candidate running. I believe right now there are still 12. You put their name up there, and then you go to the corner of the candidate that you want to support. You have to have 15% of that given precinct. We have a little satellite precinct happening right there. And if your candidate reaches 15%, then they are viable. And if they do not, you have two options, sort of three. You can join somebody who is viable. You can convince somebody to join you and make your candidate viable. Or you can combine with other people to make that candidate viable for the first time. So it's a several round process. It's very vocal. It doesn't have to be quiet. You can talk to each other. You can yell at each other. You can debate. Other people can come and yell at you and debate you and convince you to move a certain way. So it's a really volatile, unpredictable process. And really anything can happen at it.
That really explains it so well.
I didn't know how that worked.
Because I always knew, like, you know, everyone stands in their corner and then people go to support you. But I didn't know, like, the detail of that. It's very different.
Right, it is.
It's very
and
different.
And even when you come out in terms of when you hear the results tonight, I mean, in terms of the latest poll, Emerson has Sanders in front in Iowa, 28, Biden 21, Buttigieg 15, Warren 14, and Klobuchar at 11. I mean, it's not just who wins, but it's kind of like who surprises.
Right.
Sure. Right. I mean, if Klobuchar could somehow get up to third, that would be almost like a win for her.
Can you do anything where it's like, we have cookies in our corner, come over here? I mean,
It kind of takes the anonymity out of it, too. Like,
it
is really interesting.
Yeah, and it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for people who are not committed, right?
Right. Really, 3 hours is, wow, that is a commitment.
It is.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's such a long time. And then I think, all the football games I watched in the last year.
Oh, goodness.
Very fascinating.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Thank you.
Well, one of the activities over the weekend as my wife was prepping some Super Bowl snacks was me going to the store to pick up some dog food and a bunch of other things that were on the list.
Because
a lot of times,
sundries.
Yeah, I mean, usually Saturday is the errand running day. And so as I'm about to head out the door, my 4-year-old Cooper, he's like, I want to come with you.
Okay, buddy, let's go.
Now, what I discovered was, you know, thinking it's like, yep, dad, son time. What I discovered when we went first to the grocery store is he had an expectation in his 4-year-old mind that there was an expectation that when you go to a grocery store with dad, that there will be at least one treat involved.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to manage those expectations.
Yeah.
Because again, you know,
not always
made money. And we just don't always want to say, hey, anytime we go to the store, we're going to get a treat.
Right.
Now, we did cave in and get some yogurt in tubes.
Nice.
Because 4-year-olds love yogurt in
tubes. Yogurt in tubes is where it's at.
So we got that. And then we went to Walmart after that. And again, needed to manage the expectations because the expectation arose again that, hey, we're at a second store. There should be a second treat involved.
Good times.
And that, you know, again, it's like, as long as my behavior is at a certain height,
yes,
I should be rewarded with a treat. And then, of course, we have to manage those expectations of good behavior does not merit treats. Treats are a gift of grace.
We used to tell our kids, your treat is a happy mom.
Right? So anyway, so we went through some things. There was a trip to the restroom after. It's like, seriously, mama asked you before we left if you had to go or not. So there, you know, and going through the aisles there was a, all of a sudden, where did you go? Where did you go? Well, now he's riding on the bottom of the cart.
Yeah.
And didn't, and so it was an interesting shopping experience. I gained more of an appreciation for, with just one of my three children in tow, how long, how extended a trip becomes, a shopping trip becomes when you have one of my children whom I love very much, and I love you, Cooper, and I'm so glad you came with me. But it takes more time, right?
It does. It really adds a level of complexity.
One third of my kids. But anyway, I think maybe the highlight of the trip is, as you know, we were going through this managing of the expectations, and there may have been some whining and some complaining and some, but eventually, after the potty trip, he was in a better mood, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Perfect.
And we're wandering through the aisles of Walmart, and I just keep hearing him say, "Dead man walking." And you have to understand,
it's a great song.
I'm glad he listens, and my mood, you know, wasn't perfect the entire time. So I was hoping that maybe other parents didn't maybe see the slight scowl on my face because some of the ill behaviors, and then hear my kid walking out in front of the cart saying, "Dead man walking."
I love that. I love everything about that.
Realized again, found a laugh for that, and realized that "dead man walking" referred to this wonderful song by Jeremy Camp. Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.